Those that weren't here last Sunday, we sang it three times. Very inspiring song. Well, we want to thank the Lord for another week that He has been with us. We want to thank the Lord for the answers to prayer. He has not disappointed us. I really have appreciated and enjoyed the song down through the years that had the chorus that says, just trust Him and be true. And it says, He'll never disappoint your soul. We might meet with some disappointments sometimes, but ultimately, in the end, the Lord will answer. This song is inspired because of all of the messages that we have preached in this series of messages. It's impossible for us to really give that much of a review, but I will sort of give the titles for those, and maybe in your imagination or recollection you can recall some of the essence of the messages. But the first message had a title that said, "What has He done for you?" And of course that had to do with Him giving His life, His blood He shed for you and me for our salvation. The second message was, "What is He doing for you?" That message had to do with Him being at the right hand of the Father, interceding, praying for you and me now. The third message was, "What can He do for you?" And to me, this was a pivotal message of this series, because it is so important that we believe and have faith of what God can do for us. And there is nothing He cannot do for us. But one of the main thoughts of that message was that it's from Isaiah 61, that this is the gospel message. This is the good news of what God can do. And we used Isaiah 56, I believe. We've been in Isaiah a lot with the messages. And the scripture also said, He can save to the uttermost. That's a scripture we plan to also continue with today. But what He can do is change a man's life. Amen. He can do for man what man cannot do for himself, or man cannot do for each other. We may be able to, the song says, other friends may bless and comfort, speak a kind and cheering word, but the balm to heal the heartache, only Jesus can afford. So the Lord can do things for you and me that you and I can't do for each other or even for ourselves. And one of the things that the scripture tells us, He can set the captives free. He can bind up the brokenhearted. He can comfort those that mourn. And He gives beauty for ashes. Oh, that's a good exchange, isn't it? And He can also build up the wasted places. We really majored on those kind of places in our life when it looks hopeless and it looks like we cannot recover in these places. But He can, the scripture says, restore the years that the canker worm hath eaten, things that seem lost, unable to be recovered, but God can recover those. And the scripture says that He is a repairer of the breaches. So to me, that was the message of hope. And I'm still feasting on that particular message. Number four, the fourth message, the title of it was, "What Can He Do for You?" And this message had to do with cooperation. God can do it, but you and I have to work with Him in order for Him to work with us. It can't just be a one-sided thing. It's cooperation. So we called that the doctrine of cooperation. Not necessarily that that's in the Bible in that way, but the essence and the meaning of that is definitely biblical. And the next, the fifth one last Sunday was, what do you want him to do for you? And this message introduced the fact that you and I need to be taught how to pray. We need to seek the Lord, say, Lord, teach me how to pray. And praying is making our requests known unto God. And the scripture that we used was an Old Testament scripture. I believe it's also in Isaiah. And it says, concerning the works of my hands, command ye me. And a lot of people don't think that they can have that kind of authority. God gives us the invitation to command the works of his hands. And that is not demand. Remember that part of the message? We do not demand the works of God's hands. But this word command came from a Latin word. And it said to urge someone to do something. And so when we pray, what we're doing is urging the Lord to do something for us. Whatever we need, he can do it for us. So now I'd like for us to sing our song. That's just a little brief overview. Much more was said than what I've been able to just give in a review. But I want to tell you what the Lord has been trying to do is the scripture says, if I be lifted up, what will he do? He'll draw all men unto himself. And so what we're trying to do in all of this is encourage our faith, strengthen our faith, strengthen our belief in who God is and what God is and what he will do. There's nothing he cannot do. Thank the Lord. So let's turn now and read this song, sing this song rather. And it's, Lord, you're worthy.
Lord, you're worthy to be praised, and I praise you. Lord, you're worthy to bow down to, and I bow down to you. Lord, you're worthy to be worshipped, and
bestow on me. I'm not worthy of the blood you shed on Calvary, but I'll serve you for the blessings of salvation free. Thank the Lord. I hope that will inspire us this morning that God is worthy and that it will turn our minds to the fact that He has done everything possible for you and me to make heaven. He has done everything for us to have a good life, to have a blessed life, to enjoy the blessings of the Lord. He's done it all. So, the title now for our little message this morning is Divine Trust. Or we could say it, Trust in the Divine. And I want to use this word divine and give some definition for it. I believe we understand that it simply has to do with God. Divine is also something given from God. It is also directed to God. So there's three different ways we can use this word divine. If we are directing something to God, it is like divine worship. That would be directed to God. And then trust. Trust is a word that we should be familiar with. It simply means confidence and faith. It can also mean confidence. I read this somewhere in another dictionary, and it said confidence in the reliability of a person without careful investigation. Well, we would change that word of a person and say of God. It's having confidence in God that we really don't have to prove everything that He says He will do, because His word is eternally set. His word does not change. God does not change. Man changes. Man is fallible. Man is fickle. We can be disappointed in man, but you can't be disappointed in God, because His word is eternally set. It will not change. So we're going to speak about the two words together, divine trust. It is faith and confidence directed to God. And that's our hope to express this morning. Our first scripture is in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 61, I believe. Or I may have put that down wrong. Let me turn and read it. I had it written down here. This 11th chapter, I'm sorry, just a minute. It is the scripture that says, okay, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. We have, in our nation, all of our life, we have seen these words on our money. In God we trust. Maybe some people will observe those words and not really take them to heart or really think of how important that is. But our nation was built on trust in God. Our forefathers knew the value of trusting in God. They knew that God was worthy of our trust. They had faith. They had confidence. They weren't just making this up just because it sounded good. There was a reason why our nation was founded on the very principles of the Word of God. The knowledge, the convictions, the understanding has been darkened down through the years. We have a generation at this time that doesn't have the understanding and the light that you and I had. We were given the great privilege of knowing that there was a God and that He was the one that created all things. Now our younger generation now might be having a mixture of the Big Bang Theory. They may have that, and they may hear that God was the creator, or they may not hear it. So they will not have an understanding that everything that we see, everything that is in the universe, when you think of the greatness of the universe and the number of stars, and God has named them, and God has placed all of these planets in orbit, and they are working still today from the day that they were placed there. When you think of the greatness of God and the power of God, what does that do for you? Does it increase your faith? Amen. Does it cause you to think about how great our God is? That He has also turned around and been very mindful of feeble man. He placed man on the earth. Don't you know that you and I are called grasshoppers? And that we are called dust? And yet He looks down and He knows you and me by name. The scripture says He knew us before we were born, when we were in the womb. He knew us. That's hard for us to really comprehend. But He knows us today. As one of the messages went forth, I believe the first one, Sister Cheryl gave a testimony afterwards. She said that the Lord spoke to her one day, and He said, "If you had been the only person on earth, I would have died for you." That's personal. God is desiring to have a personal relationship with each one of us. When we had the message last week, when we spoke about you commanding the works of God's hands, you praying, how many people do you wait in line in order to get to Him? None. He wants you to be personal with Him. He wants to be personal with you. So when you pray, do you know that you're the only one that He's listening to? Oh, He has the power to listen to everyone on the face of the earth, but do you feel that God is listening to you personally? That's the kind of relationship He wants with you and me. He wants us to know Him and understand Him because He knows us and He knows and understands our ways. The scripture says that He knows even our thoughts. He's a discerner of our thoughts and even the intentions of our heart. That's how personal He is with us. In other words, I can't go before the Lord and say, "Well, I really didn't mean that." Because He knows what I meant. I can't skirt any issues. He is a discerner of all of me. So, there is a scripture, just a little portion of a scripture over Malachi 3 and 10. And I want to say this, I want to make this statement before I read this portion. I know that there are... I can't think of the word I want. I don't want consequences, but there, we must do our part for God to do His part. But I want to give you just a little portion here because I believe God is wanting to prove himself. And I've said it many times, especially to the younger generation. I prayed for the Lord to prove himself to the younger generation. But he wants to prove himself to each one of us every day. And so the portion is, prove me now, saith the Lord of hosts. That's all we're going to give. There's a whole nother message about bringing in the tithe. I believe that there's a part that I must play when God is wanting to bless my life, when he's wanting to enrich me. I've got a part to play, but we want to focus this morning on how God wants to prove himself to his people. He wants to prove himself to the whole world if they will let him. So this little portion is to stir up our minds this morning. If you can recall any portion of the past messages of how great God was, is, not was. It's not past tense. He still is. The scripture so plainly tells us that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We don't have to worry about his greatness or his love or his mercy or anything that he reaches out to you and me that is going to run out. The world thinks that we're going to run out of oil. The world thinks that we're going to run out of resources, that this earth is just going to shrivel up and die. Now, we know what the scripture says. We believe that God has it all set in order to endure until that time, that he commands that angel that has one foot on the land and one on the sea. Remember those messages about the coming of the Lord? There's coming a day. All of this is going to end. He will simply give the commandment that time will be no more. And everything that he has set in order to provide for the function of this world, it will be in place to that moment. And that's the kind of faith you and I need in this God. Don't worry about the fearful predictions of the world. Rest in the Lord. Trust. Have a divine trust in the one that has set it all in order to begin with. He has all power, the scripture says, in heaven and in earth. Do you believe it?
Amen.
Yes, we believe it. And we trust in it. We trust in that power. Thank the Lord. So we want, the next thought that we have is to confirm that nothing is too hard for him. Hopefully we already believe that. Hopefully that's already established in our hearts and our minds, simply because of the Word of God and what we have studied in his Word, and we see it. So Job said something that we're going to... Job said this. He said, I know that thou canst do everything. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Do you believe that God can do everything?
Amen.
Inspire your own heart by the word of God. Jesus said in one place, he said, with God, all things are possible, but with men, they are impossible. So we're having a little comparison here. Man thinks they are really, I don't know, man feels like that they've pretty well got it under the, they've got it all under control. Man has gone a long way. God has allowed men to do a lot of things. Miraculous, seemingly miraculous things. When you think of man able to construct a rocket that will take man to the moon or to go into outer space, that was unheard of in the generation just before us. But in our generation, we have witnessed what God has allowed man to figure out. Yet God is above all of that. He's permitted man to have a mind to figure some of these things out, but it only came from God. Remember that. So there's a lot of things. Most things are impossible with man if they don't have God. But with God, all things are possible. So Jesus said that. And then there's a verse in Luke 1 and 37, and it says, with God nothing shall be impossible. Well, we know he has the power and ability that nothing will be impossible. But how does it work? It works through you and me having faith and commanding the works of his hands. So we're this divine trust, we must believe. Like the scripture that we first started with, that God is God and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Do you believe it? We must believe. In order to have the full value of God's plan in our life, it is through me believing it. Okay, we're going to go to Hebrews, the 7th chapter, and read verse 25. And it says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, by Jesus, seeing he is ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now I want us to focus on a key word after we read some of these passages, but this word is able. He is able. The next thing it says here, he's able to save man to the uttermost. His plan is perfect. His plan works. When Jesus hung on the cross, you've heard this, what did he say just before he expired? He said, "It is finished." The plan of God was complete for man to be reconciled back to God. The blood had been shed. The sacrifice was made. Remember the song that said he could have called 10,000 angels and destroyed the world, but he chose to die. He chose. There are people that have written songs about his crucifixion, songs such as, "It was not the nails that held him to the cross, but it was love." People have these inspirations. It was the love of God. He chose to give his life. What happened when he did that? It opened, according to the word of God, a fountain of blood that reaches down to every generation. And it will reach to every generation to the end of time. It will not run out. And so it is enough. You and I are saved by the blood. The blood is what cleanseth us from all sins. It's a plan that is set in order. And when you or I come and repent of our sins, well, in essence, what we're saying, Lord, wash me, make me clean, forgive my sin, cover my sin. And you can still, it will still be available to you. Should you fail the grace of God, should you need that blood, it will come and cleanse you again. I praise God that it is a plan that reaches to me in every area of my life for as long as I live. The power of it is still available for me. Thank the Lord. So this scripture says he is able to save man to the uttermost, to the whatever man has committed, whatever sin has been committed. We may judge the sins. We may look upon a man that is broken down by the drugs and the alcohol and all of the sins of the flesh, and we may look at, we look out here, we don't have it so much here, but I'll tell you, in California and some of those places, there's a lot of homeless, broken people. And they are just, they have no life. And they're just, they have no purpose. And they cannot help themselves. The blood could reach them too. The salvation could reach those that are in those kind of places. Thank the Lord. Yes, thank the Lord. But it reached us. If you're saved this morning, it reached you. And if you're still saved after a number of years, that's to the uttermost. Thank the Lord. So, let's go to Romans, the 4th chapter now. Let's read between 18 and 21. And I'm just going to be reading some of the special parts of each verse. I don't want to get caught up in any extra words. This is a passage where Abraham is, he's concerning the promise that God gave to Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. And he was an old man, and his wife was beyond years also. And the promise was given, and yet it had not come to pass. But this passage says this, speaking of Abraham, who against hope believed in hope. Have you ever been in a place like that? You wanted the hope, but you didn't see anything happening that would cause you to hope. Well, Abraham was there. And he hoped in spite of hopelessness. When we have faith in God and we're waiting for the promise, we must hope, even though we don't see any hope. That's part of verse 18. And the next part, who against hope believed in hope, I'm skipping down now, not being weak in faith, skipping down to another part of another verse, he staggered not at the promise of God, skipping a few words there, but was strong in faith and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. This is what our God can do. We can have faith and confidence in the promises. We can claim the promises. I will testify just a little bit. May not be able to tell the details, but when the Lord called me to the ministry, he spoke something to me. He spoke a promise. The Lord said, if you will give yourself wholly to my work, I will fight for your children, your grandchildren, and their marriages. I didn't know I could ask for a promise. I didn't ask for it. God gave it to me. As time went on, that became a real fight of faith. My children could have been divorced, but God fought for them. And I would go before the Lord in those places, and I would say, Lord, judge me if I have given myself wholly to your work. God worked every time. That's my testimony. In the past 2 years, as it came to my grandchildren's generation, my faith was put to the test again. We held on that God gave us the promise. For 2 years, we saw nothing. But God was faithful. He held to his word. We're expecting that thing to be finished and complete because of God's promise. The promises of God are like that. That you can trust in his promises. You can stand on the word of God. You can stand on the promise, but you can't have unbelief. The scripture says we can't waver. If we waver, he says a man that wavereth is not worthy. But we must hold to the promises. Thank the Lord. So let's go now to 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. Just giving you some things that God wants us to put our trust in him and it work. The 9th chapter, verse 8 of 2 Corinthians. And it says, God is able. Now what is he able for? To make all grace abound toward you. That ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now what is God able to do? His grace is sufficient. Paul is the one that wrote that scripture to us. But he had to pass through something in order for the grace of God to be manifested in him, to uphold him. And it says that he came before the Lord. He had a thorn in the flesh. And he wanted to be relieved of that thorn. I say sometimes we might be disappointed if God should say no. But if you will trust, God will work it for your good. If you will hold on by faith. So Paul comes before the Lord 3 times. And he asked to be relieved of that thorn. And the word of the Lord said to him, no, I'm not going to relieve you of the thorn, for my grace is sufficient for you. Grace is how God keeps you and me, how he upholds us, how he gives us the power to overcome. He went on in that passage and he said, for my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. We can be weak in some areas. Amen. I know I have some weak areas. God knows my weak areas. He knows yours. Amen. He knows where he has to help us. But it's because we have asked for it.
That's true.
We've gone before him. Maybe we've even confessed. I have this week. I told the Lord this week. I said, Lord, I'm a coward. I felt that the Lord was, and he is, he's calling me to do something. My flesh was drawing back. And I really felt like a coward. I felt like running. But we can say these things to God. He understands. Tell him if you feel like a coward. And then say, Lord, help me. Help me not to be a coward. Help me to be strong in the power of your might. It was the same with Paul. When he said, when God said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Do you know, there is another translation of that. Paul said, when I am weak, then am I strong. That's how he answered the Lord. When I am weak, then am I strong. And a translation says on it, when I am weak, then am I dynamite. You want to be dynamite for the Lord? You want to just have that kind of power? It's accepting his power to help you to overcome. So what is he able to do? He's able to make all grace abound unto you. Let's go to Jude, the 24th verse. And it's a very similar verse. And here it says, now unto him that is able. God is able. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Thank the Lord. And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. What a scripture. We're not at the end yet. But do we expect an end? You might as well expect an end, because if the Lord doesn't come while you're alive, you have an appointment with death. You have an end. And he is able. He is able to keep you from falling. You'll have to go to him, though. It's available. You have to reach out and touch it. And to present you faultless. What a day. There's a song that says, what a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face. The one who saved me by his grace. That'll be a day that you can stand before the Lord faultless, not because of your power, but his grace was able to keep you from falling. Ephesians, the 3rd chapter and verse 20. I want you to continue to think about the key word here is able. The 3rd chapter and verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh where? In God? It says in you. It's got to have the power working in us, and then he is able. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Takes faith. You know what? The disciples came to Jesus, and you know what they said? They said, Lord, increase our faith. Some people are afraid to ask for God to increase their faith. You know why? Same as they're afraid to ask God to give them more patience. Oh, if I ask for more faith, then I'm going to have some trials. If I ask for more patience, I'm going to be tried that way. Ask for it. Don't be afraid to ask for it. Amen. He'll give you the power to receive it. Amen. It's the same principle. A number of years ago, this is my testimony. But I always enjoyed Monarch so much. Monarch was like my new year. It was like I lived from monarch to monarch. And I always expected to get something from Monarch that would sort of spur me on. And that particular year, it didn't happen. And I went home feeling just about as empty as I did when I went. And I went before the Lord, and I was crying out to God concerning the fact that I felt I had such a need. And the Lord put these words in my mouth. I spoke them. And then it was as though God just sort of stood back and said, now what are you going to do with those words? And those words were this. Lord, I want you to try me. And as soon as I said it, I just had a chill go over my body, because you're asking for something hard if you want to be tried. Some way I just felt the pleasure of the Lord for me to ask Him to try me. So I continued to pray that way. Every time I prayed, I would say, Lord, I want you to try me. And I knew in my heart I was asking for something hard. So a little while later, the trying started. And I said to myself, well, I can take this. This isn't too bad. But it got worse. And it got worse. And it got worse. And I began to wonder if I could bear it. And it didn't last a month. It lasted 3 years. But I want to tell you something. The Lord taught me some things in that time I could have learned no other way. I look back on that time with joy and pleasure. I'm not afraid to say to the Lord now, Lord, I want you to try me. See if there is any wicked way in me. That's what the scripture says. See if there is, you know what that means? What the reference on that means? See if there is any way of pain in me. When it says, see if there is any wicked way, Lord, show me. Don't you know that you and I need to see ourselves? We are so able to see everyone else's faults.
That's true.
But we need to see number one.
Yes, amen.
And when we can, and when God shows it to us, He'll give us this grace. He'll give us this power. He'll give us the help to change us, to make us into vessels of honor,
amen,
and not vessels of dishonor. He can do that, and He will do that. So, you want Him to do some exceedingly abundantly above things? He's able. So that is our key word. He is able. In closing, I'm going to read Luke, the 3rd chapter, verse 5 and 6. And to me, this is such a message of hope, because He's able. He says, every valley shall be filled. Every mountain and hill shall be brought low. Don't you know the Lord wants consistency out of you and me? Oh, have you ever had a mountaintop experience? Have you had a valley experience? You know what that means? You can get good out of your valleys. And you can enjoy the mountaintop experiences, but they're not real. They don't last forever, because we're human. You know what your valleys are supposed to do? We have a song that we sing sometimes, and it says, all of this might do this to me, but my valleys just bring me to my knees. Don't resent your valleys. Let them work for you, because what He wants to do is bring you up. And then when you have the mountaintop experience and everything's going good, and you're feeling like you're on top of the mountain, enjoy it, but know that you'll soon be in the valley. And that's what He wants to do with us. And He says, I'm going to take every valley and I'm going to bring it up. And I'm going to take every mountain and hill and I'm going to bring it down. because that's where we're going to have to find the power.
Yes.
So emotional that our faith isn't even working. We can't be so low that our faith is being affected. Either way, see? And then it says, and the crooked shall be made straight. Oh, thank the Lord. I can't make my crooked places straight, but God can. And oftentimes it's in a way that is hard. But if I continue, he'll bring me out. And the scripture says this, he'll bring me out into a wealthy place. So he wants to make the crooked places straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. And the last verse, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. And he wants all flesh to see the salvation, but it'll only be those who seek for it. Because the scripture said, you have to ask and it shall be given you. You have to seek to find and you have to knock. So I have a job. It'll be opened unto me, but it's not just something that's going to fall out of heaven. That's not real. Remember, the doctrine of cooperation. We have to work with God. God works with us. Remember the messages up to now. Remember the things he's doing for us right now. So in closing, I would like for us to turn to the blue book and sing 117. The title of that is, What Can He Do For You? I want to thank the Lord for all that he has done for me and all that he is doing for me and all that he will do for me. My hope is bright that he will not forsake me. He promised he would not forsake me. He would not leave me nor forsake me. And the same promise is for you. Pray for me.
Final breath, his sorrow soon.